Hello and welcome to the Tales from the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Sam, and I'm joined by Frosty. Greg Frost, how are you?
Yeah, good, Sam. Good, mate. Good to chat.
Yeah, likewise. And also got Charl back. How are you, Charl?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me back on.
No worries. I guess probably as we were just talking about off air, it was a while ago, these two Japanese marathons you guys ran. But yeah, didn't want to deprive the listeners of a little bit of a recap. Firstly, on your travel experience over there, and secondly, how the races went down. We might talk about the times first. Charl, you ran 2:40, maybe 2:40:40, roughly. Is that right?
Yeah, 2:40:41.
Yeah.
So and I had 1 second per K to get.
Yeah, exactly. And Frosty, you were 2:36.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I was just talking to the boys on the run the Savo. It's 2:35:56 if you take net time, or 2:36:11 if you take the gun time. So,
oh, you got to take net time, surely.
That's what they said. I was going to take the gun time, but yeah, I'll take the net time.
Yeah, not unless you're at the pointy end of the field. I guess you'd worry about gun time.
Yeah, well, in that case, I've just dipped 2:36, right?
Oh, well done, 2:35.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Charl, I think your travel journey, or you travelled over to Japan after Frosty from memory, didn't you? Frosty, were you there for a little bit? Or
I think we're about more or less at the same time, yeah, similar time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you headed over a few days before your race.
Yeah, I flew out on the Wednesday to Tokyo, and then on the Thursday before the race we took the train to Osaka from Tokyo. Actually, when I got to Osaka, I went out for a run that night. And it was a big difference, big change from running in Wollongong before that, running in the cold weather in Osaka. Yeah, I got home thinking like I barely broke a sweat. Like my heart rate, I didn't have a heart rate monitor or anything, but it felt like my heart rate was very low. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, it must be so much easier to train in Japan if you can do like easy runs at like a 120 heart rate or something. So that was definitely a sort of a nice surprise when I got there.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're definitely in a pretty humid climate. Like even just being in New Zealand for a week or so, it was so cold over there, and it felt, you know, quite different. And Frosty, did you get down to Osaka to watch the marathon?
Yeah, I did. So I flew out on the Thursday, just the day after Charl. Yeah, like on the red eye. So got into Tokyo Friday morning and took the train straight down to Osaka.
Yeah, nice one. Very good. So, Charl, what did your few days leading up to the marathon look like? Did you have your family over there as well?
Yeah. So wife and daughter were there with me. Yeah, so we did a little bit of sightseeing in Osaka before the race. So on the Friday, I went to the expo. The expo was quite busy. A lot of people. I think there were 29,000 finishers in the race. So I'm not sure if all of them wanted to go to the expo, but there was a big queue. And then once you're inside, there's all these little stores that they try and sell you stuff. So, and I bought a few things there. So, but I was glad that I did that on the Friday. So that the Saturday, I tried to not walk around too much, save the legs a little bit, and then sort of be ready for the Sunday. But yeah, we did a little bit of sightseeing in Osaka, a couple of days before. And then after the race, we went to Kyoto first and then to Tokyo. So I saw Frosty running in Tokyo a week later as well.
Yep. Yeah, I love the camaraderie going and supporting each other's races. Cool. So I guess you're probably carb loading the couple of days before the marathon. How was that when you were over there? Did you find all the food that you needed and, you know, everything that you needed prior to the race?
Yeah, that was quite easy. I enjoy Japanese food anyway. So yeah, it was quite easy to find sort of stuff that's familiar. A lot of dishes Well, there are a lot of options with like a rice based dish. So yeah, that was quite easy. I think I had some sort of pastry the morning before the race. They've got all these vending machines spread all over, and the vending machines you can buy coffees and teas, hot or cold. So on the race morning, actually before the race, as I got into the bag drop area,
yep,
I bought like a warm coffee at the vending machine because I like to have coffee before the race. So by then I had tested a few different sort of brands that they sell in the vending machines and found the one that I like. And yeah, I had that before the race and that worked really well. So that's, I don't think I was like carb loading sort of in an extreme way. I was just eating a lot of carbs. I wasn't like, really trying to count carbs or have massive meals, but yeah, I was eating lots of carbs.
Yeah, cool. And I guess your taper, did you do a run, probably a couple of small runs the days leading up to the race?
Yeah, so I think that week I had easy run on the Monday. On the Tuesday, I think I did a bit of a sort of a small session. I think maybe just something like 15 minutes of 1 minute on, 1 minute off. And then the Thursday, Wednesday, we were just traveling. And then on the Thursday and Friday, I just had easy jogs.
Yep.
The Saturday, I did nothing. And then on the Sunday, I went to the race. Yeah, so very, very little in that last week. Just to keep the legs fresh.
Yep. And, cool. So what time did the race start?
I can't remember exactly, but it was quite generous. Like I didn't have to wake up super early. I think it may have been like a 9 a.m. start or something around there. So I took the from our accommodation, jumped on the train to the start. The start was close to this castle, Osaka Castle. And there was like this big backdrop area on a, I think it's a baseball field. Which we've had a little bit of, we had like rain a few days before, sort of on and off. And so it was quite wet. So in the backdrop area, it was like a wet field with lots of mud. And they'd put down these rubber mats and pieces of wood on it for people to walk on. But it's too, the path is a little bit too narrow for everyone to do that. So you end up walking a bit through the mud to get to your bag dropping time. So I had like my shoes were a little bit wet before the start, which is not ideal, but yeah, it wasn't a big issue. And then from the bag drop, it's about a kilometer to get to the start line. So that was like a mix of walking and jogging. If I get a bit of space between people, I take a little jog. That was basically my warm up. So did a bit of that, did a toilet stop on the way. And then there's a one area that was a bit more open. So tried to do like a couple of drills. And then got into the start line, probably sort of 20, I think maybe 25 minutes before the start, moved my way to the front. I was close to the front of the non-elite people, maybe two or three rows back. They had like this little ceremony that started before the race. And after that, the elite people came in. They must have come in like less than 10 minutes before the start. It was very, very organized. Like they had these people walking with, with little banners of where you need to be so that everyone stands in line. And they got into their area. So then I could see a few of the other Australians, some elite people. And then a couple of seconds before the start, they just let our area sort of walk through to the back of the elites. And then the gun went and we all sort of just started together. So all of that whole process was very good, like very well organized, sort of easy to navigate. I didn't have any issues. I had a couple of the precision hydration chews on the start line. It's sort of the first, sort of almost like the first child just before the race started.
Yep.
I had, I was wearing, it was quite cold in the morning, but at that point I was feeling quite good. I was happy that it's cold. So I had arm warmers. I was wearing arm warmers and gloves and then buff, like a sort of
Around my neck. The neck kind of thing.
And the idea was, and at that point I was considering maybe running in a t-shirt underneath my singlet, but then at that point I'd left the t-shirt in the drop bag. And then I was thinking that as we warm up along the way, I'll just drop these arm warmers and gloves, just chuck them to the side. I just had like these little cheap knitted gloves. I did the same thing in New York. I just threw them at one of the water stops or something. Our day ended up being quite cold towards the end, so I didn't need to get rid of anything. I finished the race with all the things I started with. That is good. I can maybe go on and give you a bit of a rundown, Sam, of
Absolutely. I mean, the start would be, the very start of the race would be really interesting to hear, because we hear so much about the Japanese culture and everyone, going out like crazy and almost a bit suicidal in terms of pacing. How did you find that? Like, obviously you locked into a pretty steady, pretty close to sub 240 pace. I think your first 5 5Ks were within a couple of seconds of 18:35. From memory, you were pretty metronomic, which was cool. What was that like? Did the people next to you go off like crazy, or?
So it was the first kilometer of that race is downhill as well. So once the gun goes, it felt like a stampede. Everyone was just going for it. And because there were so many people, I think the first K, because it's downhill as well, I was basically felt like I was just holding back. Lots of people came past. But it's also a time when people are still sorting themselves out. So I think there were, fast runners that were a bit further back in the pack that needed to get to the front. And then there were other people who just went out very quickly. So the first sort of 5Ks, I think people were just sort of settling into where they wanted to be. But yeah, the first K feels like a stampede. And then once people sort of settled in at about 5Ks, I then started looking around for a pack. Because then at that point, there were a few packs forming and I was a little bit sort of on my own between packs. I saw there was a pack in front of me a little bit. So initially I thought, maybe I'll try and catch up to them, run with them. But then through the first 5Ks, I was a couple of seconds faster than what I wanted to be. I wanted to be close to 19 minutes per 5K. I was more around like 18:40. Within that second 5K, I sort of decided, okay, now I'm not going to try and get to this pack. I'll rather wait for pack to catch up to me. So I was just sort of trying to run comfortably. And then I think at about 12Ks, there was a pack that got up to me. And then I sort of sat in that pack for a while. But yeah, looking afterwards at the splits, the first 5Ks, or the first sort of, I think, four or five 5Ks, they were quite close. I think I sort of had a really good rhythm. I also thought afterwards, I at the time I felt like the effort was really good. Like it didn't feel like I was doing too much work for a marathon, and it gave me a bit of confidence even for another marathon going forward. I thought sort of 2:40 would be sort of the ultimate of what I can run, but after the way I felt in that first half of that race, I felt like that if I can sustain that effort for a marathon on a good day, so I think maybe I can one day run closer to what Frosty ran in Tokyo. But Yeah, so I felt good. I felt good through halfway. Through halfway, actually, I had this moment where I thought, oh, maybe I should go now. I'm feeling good. I should just go. Maybe get to the next pack. And then I thought, no, just sit in this pack and wait. Like, the race starts at 30K, you know, as I always say. And then at that point, so once you go through halfway, there's two out and backs where you basically run south for a couple of kilometers and then back north. And then you go around the corner and you do it again, around the, like down a different street. And then at 35K, or then there's like a little hill at 32K, and then at 35K, you turn north again. And we had like a bit of a wind coming sort of down from the north. So every time you run north, you run into the wind. So yeah, through halfway it was fine. Down the first out and back with the tailwind felt good. And then on the way back, you just had to work a little bit harder. But that was still fine. And then in that second out and back, on the way back, I worked a bit harder again. And then I started to feel I started to feel like I almost wanted to cramp a little bit. So just sort of that I don't know if you have it as well. I've had cramps before in races, and I get like this little warning twitch in the muscle before it actually starts to cramp. So I was getting a bit of that. And I know that the way to handle, one way for me to handle that, if I can, is I just need to sort of calm my nervous system down. So I'd start to like focus on breathing, you know, just try and be like as relaxed as possible, try not to think about a lot of things, just those sort of things. And when I did that, I like lost a little bit of just intensity, and I slowed down like a little bit doing that. But yeah, luckily the cramps then sort of went away, or sort of held at bay. But then I'd slowed down a little bit to do that. And then once I slowed down, I felt like I was getting quite cold. And then I sort of just started to feel quite tight and sort of stiff. So I didn't have like a nice sort of range of motion. So by the time I got to 35K, I knew from the start that was going to be a tough section. I was sort of mentally prepared to work hard in that section. But I did work hard, and I sort of felt good enough cardio-wise to work hard, but my legs wouldn't really move faster. So the last, like, then you have from that 35K to 40 is all the way. That whole stretch is just one section north, one straight road, 5Ks of running into the wind, and then you turn into the castle for the last, towards the castle for the last 2Ks. And even then I was sort of giving it my all, but the pace, like, I couldn't increase the pace. My legs were just sort of locked into one pace. And I knew I had a little bit of time in hand through halfway, because I think I ran 79 minutes through halfway. So I knew I had a bit of time in hand if I slowed down. And I, even going through 35Ks, I thought, oh, I could still run 240 if I run like a low, 19 minutes low for the next 5Ks. Ended up running 20 minutes for that 5K. That's basically, I think, where it became like a 240 something rather than a 239 something. So I crossed the line, felt very, very happy with the time. Still sort of, I think, a massive PB for me. So from 245 to 240, I was really happy with the effort. As I said, sort of a bit of a confidence boost in terms of how the effort felt at the start of the race, for our next race as well. So very happy with that. There was a lot of support along the way, which was really nice as well. I was surprised, like, because it was a cold morning, cold, a little bit windy, or the wind sort of felt like it got worse as the day went on. But still, there were lots of people out there. Like, the people aren't sort of as loud as what they were when I ran in New York. But there's lots of people and everyone's clapping and supporting. Yeah, so that was great, great atmosphere. The finish line, I think the finish line was okay. It's nothing like, you know, the finish line in Sydney where you run down to the Opera House. And yeah, it's this amazing, amazing finish running down Macquarie Street. This finish was a bit more low key, but still, yeah, obviously very happy to see the finish line. And then, yeah, they give you a towel, took a couple of photos, and then you make your way back to the to your stuff. That, yeah, after finishing, basically just after crossing the line, like my legs started to cramp again a little bit. And I just tried to keep walking to get to my bag to warm up. So I got my bag. Like at that point, it's not busy yet at the bag drop. So got my bag quite quickly and got a spot where I could sit down, change. So put on some warm clothes. But when after I put on the warm clothes, I could almost not move. I sat down. I couldn't stand up. I think I ended up pulling myself up by like trying to almost, you know, if you're doing like rock climbing, I had my fingers in between these bricks to pull myself up against the wall. And then my legs were cramping on both sides, like quads and hamstrings, calves, deep flexors, like groin muscles, everything was just locked up. So I took like maybe 100 meters of walking with, it must have looked very funny for people from the outside, but I basically walked with like straight legs for 100 meters before I could start to bend them a little bit. And by then I had to go up this set of stairs to go to get back to the train, which I couldn't really do. So I was stood at the bottom of the stairs for a little bit. So yeah, there was a few sort of post-marathon adventures in that sense. But yeah, I was really happy with the result at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think running 20 minutes in the last, your last 5K split is still pretty good. Like, it's still reasonably even for the whole race. Like, it was a pretty public marathon, the Osaka one, because it was all the inside running stuff and seemed like everyone, bar Lisa Waitman, had a shocker, or not a shocker in all cases, but, you know, struggled. So can you get into a little bit more detail about the kind of hypothermia and the extreme cold? Like, in your experience, how did that kind of take over? Did the temperature start to drop? Was it the wind? Was it a combination of the rain?
We had like little bits of drizzle, but it wasn't really raining much. I think, after running in New York was quite cold as well on the day. It was like 3 or 4 degrees when we got to the start line, and by the end it was 9 degrees. And at that, like after New York, I thought, oh, it's great to run in cold weather. After the soccer, I sort of realized that it can be too cold as well. What also happened was it felt like it cooled down even more. Like at the start line, I wasn't worried about the weather at all. I felt like it's good. But then as we went through it, it felt like it sort of got worse. But I don't know if it really got colder or just, you know, as you run into the wind and your body's fatiguing, it's harder and harder to sort of manage it. But yeah, like that, so the running into the wind a little bit, I think, is tough, especially at the end of the race when there's no packs or anything around at that point anymore. So you're on your own. That makes you feel cold as well. I heard a lot of people had bad days. I know of one guy who had an amazing race. He had like a 2 minute negative split. The way I see that race is that day is still, I think like a 7 or 8 out of 10 in terms of weather, like for marathon running. It's still a good day. It's not a horrible day. Like Sydney Marathon last year with the heat, is much worse. Like that to me is like a 2 or 3 out of 10. But this, yeah, so this, it wasn't, it's not a 10 out of 10 or, you know, it's not a perfect day for marathon running, but it's not a, it's not like a horrible day. It was just a bit tough because it was quite cold and
yeah, you're going to be exposed in certain areas. Yeah. Frosty,
where did you,
I was just going to say, Frosty, where did you situate yourself in terms of spectating?
Yeah, I was moving around a little bit because it's got pretty good train system. So I think I got all up to about four or five different spots. I didn't see Charles at all of those because I was also following the hoster around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I was at the 10K mark. I saw you come past Charles and then about the 20K mark, maybe 25, and again at 30 when you're about to go up the hill on, into the north on that with the wind. And I can tell you, Sam, I was freezing as a spectator, like, and I think it did get colder because I agree, Char, like at the start, I was at the start line and I was thinking this is not bad. The forecast had been sort of
pretty bad, right?
Rain was due, but it wasn't really raining at the start, and it was still, and like it just felt like that cold air that you kind of do want to run in. Throughout the day, like it did drizzle a little bit, and it felt to me like the temperature was dropping. Maybe that's because I was standing on the side of the road for a few hours, but. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Sorry, Charles, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just saying so once you get to the finish, I think that section or that would have been tough for a lot of people because you're so close, it's so cold and you're so close to, your body is so close to the limit. So if you don't get warmth very quickly, I think you can easily get into trouble at that point. And it was a bit of a walk to get to, back to our bags. So I saw one guy, a run crew guy, don't know his name. He finished before me, but he was, he looked like he was suffering a little bit at the end. And I think afterwards he had a bit of hypothermia as well. So yeah, I think like at the finish line, it was just definitely a bit of, you needed to make an effort to get warm as quickly as possible.
And how did you celebrate after, I guess, limping up to the train and getting back to your accommodation?
Yeah, so after, warmed up, got to warm clothes, started to be able to bend my legs again, got onto the train, got to my phone, and then made my way back to our accommodation. I bought another one of the hot drinks from the vending machine on the way back as well to try and heat up a bit. And then I think the main celebration was basically we had like 3 weeks holiday in Japan after that, which is the first time we had like, well, not the first time, but it was like a really nice trip with, the three of us, my wife and our little daughter with us, which was an amazing holiday. So from there, we basically traveled this through parts of Japan. I've never been there before. I think that was basically the celebration. It was a very nice holiday. Knowing that I was happy with the run and then not having to run for a while. And then when you get back, you just want to jog a little bit for a week. So, it was a really great holiday in that sense.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, glad you had a good time and well deserved after a good and tough race.
Thanks, sir.
No worries. And we might shift the focus over to Mr. Frost and it'd be good to get some comparison in the two races as well, because I think some of the people who like at the pointy end who might be going for qualifiers and stuff, they might have even bought tickets to both races, and if the conditions weren't quite there at Osaka, maybe they'd pull the pin and do Tokyo the next week. So it'd be pretty unique that we get to do a direct comparison right here.
Yeah, well, get ready for a bit of juxtaposition between the two recaps, mate, because there were a lot of things that were different, starting with the weather. So if Charles was a 7 out of 10, Tokyo was an 11 or 12. It was immaculate. Blue sky, no wind at all, 10 degrees probably, absolutely amazing. So yeah, like it was an incredible experience. The start area and stuff was just buzzing. Like it starts out in Shinjuku, it's just kind of everyone gets the train to some of the train stations around there, and then walks down to the start area, and it was just like a, it was like a bit of a festival. There were so many people, and there was that, you know, that excitement in the air when you, you go into a big event. It felt, it felt pretty special. So I was getting pretty pumped up, kind of heading to the start area. A little bit like Charlotte's, kind of like I didn't really get to do much of a warm up. There just wasn't really anywhere to run. You kind of, you sort of had to sign into this compound to go in, and the worst bit about that was having to get rid of all. You weren't allowed to take any drinks in, and I had a fresh bottle of Pocari Sweat I was planning on sipping on when I was in there, that Japanese sports drink that everyone talks about, which is actually bloody good stuff. So I had to ditch that, but yeah, kind of went in and sort of, I had a bag with me that I was bag dropping, so I kind of had to stash it in the bushes and sort of went for a little jog trying to get ready. But yeah, I was kind of resigned to the fact that I wasn't going to do any kind of proper warm up, or what I would, you know, do if I had a little bit more space, but it wasn't too bad. Drills and stuff as well, kind of activations, and then I kind of had to drop my bag off in the bag drop and went up into the start corral, which is kind of like on this raised road. So I kind of climbed up there, and I was in like the second one from the front, which was pretty cool. Like it was a bit like Charles, it was sort of the, just the elites in front of us, but it was yeah, it was absolutely buzzing up there. It was funny because it was all in shade except for one little strip of sun where the sun was coming through. So everyone was kind of crammed into the sunny spot trying to be warm, which was cool because it meant there was a little bit of open space. So I could do a few strides and things like that. But then, yeah, just kind of hopped into the start line and waited for go time. Again, there was a bit of a ceremony similar to what Charles was describing when they announced a few runners and did a bit of a spiel. And then, yeah, gun went, and it was pretty hectic start. Like it did, it probably took me a K or so at least to feel like I was out in like a running rhythm and not having to kind of focus on making sure I didn't crash into anyone or have someone crash into me. But like that's like, I kind of like that. It's sort of fun in a way, I think. Like you want to get into a rhythm, but if you stay relaxed with it, it's kind of, it's all part of the experience, I think, of doing a massive event. I mean, there's 35,000 runners or whatever it is, 39,000 runners all go off the same gun there at Tokyo. So it's pretty chaotic. And people do go out hard, as we all know. But yeah, my race went a bit differently to Charles. So I think when I came on in the lead up, Sam, I was saying I would have loved to go 2:30 or, you know, below 2:30. I think if I had a really good day, that was what I was hoping might be on the cards. But yeah, it didn't turn out that way for me, unfortunately. So it never really felt as easy as it should. I knew pretty early on that I was in trouble if I was going to go at that pace, and I never hit, like I didn't, the 5k split you need to run under 2:30 is 17:45 5k, and I didn't hit any of those for the day. It's a bit slow my first 5k, mostly because of that congestion and stuff, but it's also downhill, so like I've got it here, I ran 17:58 for that first 5k, and which was obviously a little slower than I would need to go where I wanted to, but it didn't feel easy enough. But I wasn't freaking out or anything at that point, because I was just thinking like so much can change over the course of a race that long that it could still turn around. Like I was still pretty confident in my fitness and stuff like that, so I just kind of kept plugging along, tried to find a bit of a pack. It weren't that many packs sort of forming, but there were heaps of people around, so I was never really running by myself in the early stages of the race. So yeah, just I kind of was trying to put a little bit how I was feeling out of my mind, hoping it would turn around. It never really did, unfortunately. At one point I did get in a pretty good pack. I think it had two, I'm assuming they were Japanese runners, two female Japanese elite runners, and they looked like they had a few paces, and I sort of sat in with them for a bit. And that actually did start feeling really comfortable, but it's because we were running a little bit slower than we wanted to. And I made a decision to go off the front and push on ahead. And that ended up being a shocking decision because I saw those ladies come past me again later in the race, I'll tell you.
Yeah, right. But,
yeah. So like right. I kind of went with it. I went through halfway in, it was 75:49 through halfway. So it's like nothing crazy off, but at that point when I knew that I was potentially in for a very rough second half, I was telling myself at that point if I just needed to kind of grind it, and hopefully if I had a really good second half I might still be able to run a PB. So that was the sort of a change in mindset mid-race, but kind of by 25K, even that was looking sketchy. It was starting to get really, really hard. So it was mostly my legs really just felt like they were getting sore and heavy way quicker than I was hoping they would. I mean, it's everything, as I say all this, it's just a classic case of running a bad marathon and probably not being as fit as you thought you were. Because what I'm describing is the inverse of what you want to do. That's where you want to be feeling like you're still going okay, so you can push on.
It's pretty common though, right? Like the majority of people aren't negative splitting, I guess.
Yeah. And not like I didn't want to run a big negative split or anything, but I like to try and keep it pretty even if I can. But I knew at that point that's not going to be the case. So again, I had to have a bit of another kind of mindset shift at that point. And I was kind of telling myself, just keep my 5K splits under 20 minutes. If I can keep doing that, I'll just wanted to get to the finish line. Because the funny thing was, I was still having such a good time, even though I was in a lot of pain and already disappointed a little bit with how it was going. But it was funny, I was still kind of loving it. I spent a heap of time in the second half of the race just with this one Japanese guy, and he was absolutely battling as well. But we were kind of handing each other drinks and encouraging each other, and we'd sort of yo-yo a little bit with who was in front. So that was kind of, felt like we had a bit of camaraderie there together, which was good. And like, I had family out on the course, and Charles, I saw Charles a few times, which was great. And like, my sister was with my partner Felicity, and I remember seeing her, would have been around 30K, somewhere around there, I reckon. And they knew at that point, obviously, that I was having a shocker. And she just yelled out to me, just keep moving forward. And it was like exactly what I needed to hear at that point, I think, because I was just like, I've just got to keep, like, you know, I'm in Tokyo. This is so good to be here. Got to keep, just rinse myself as much as I could. And I was having some pretty funny thoughts. I think I've told a few of my mates, like, at that point, I was kind of hoping there was going to be a minor earthquake, because it said in the runner's handbook that if it was an earthquake over a certain amount, they'd call the race off. So I was sort of hoping that would happen. Nothing to make get anyone injured or anything, but just or hurt, but just enough.
It's enough to get the race. Just
not running.
You and Kipchoge both paying for that.
Well, and yeah, that was the other thought I had, Charles, because I knew because there's a fair few out and backs in the course, which is really cool actually, because it meant you got to run the other way and see like those front, you know, the front packs come past you in the opposite direction, which was awesome. But we had seen that Eliud Kipchoge was off the pace, and I was in a big group when we went past him and saw that he was dropped, and everyone kind of did this big double take and was thinking, wow, what's going on there? You know, he's dropped way off the back of the pack. So then I was thinking in the later half of the race too, hopefully he pulls out and then I've just got to get to the finish line and I can count it as a scout. I saw him, I was heading out for the last, you do this last kind of big out and back. I must have been at about 32K, I guess, somewhere around there. And I saw him going back almost towards the finish. Like, he would have been at 41K. So that was a bit of a dagger as well. I knew at that point he was going to finish. So that took some more wind out of my sails. It was also kind of funny. I was sort of chuckling to myself as well.
Yeah.
Look, it just got really tough. I managed to keep my 5K splits under 20 minutes though. So that was definite silver lining. I was pretty happy with that in the end. And the finishing area was, like, the lead up to the finish was pretty cool. You went into this big long straight and there was heaps of crowd and everyone was cheering on, and you kind of turn in and finish right near the Imperial Palace. I was very happy to see that finishing arch and go through there so I could stop running. So it was a long way off what I wanted. Big positive split, like I said at the start, like around 2:36 was the time I wanted. So I was pretty disappointed with how it went, but at the same time, like, had such a good time. Like, I would honestly go back and do the exact same race again just because it was such an amazing event. But yeah, I was pretty gutted with the result.
That's all right. I think you held on a bit better than you thought you would. The way you described it, that you were hurting that early and you managed to hang on and, you know, still run a reasonable clip. Like not what you want to be running, obviously, but you didn't hit, sounds like you didn't quite hit the wall, but you're able to hang on and yeah, keep it together somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. Like I mean, it's the great thing about running, isn't it? It's all relative. Like what's I'm describing it as a shocker, and because of, you know, the personal goals I had, but lots of people probably would have been stoked to run the time I did. But that's the beauty of running as well. It's very personal. You've got your own goals that you're shooting for. So
Yeah.
doesn't matter if you come in at 2.5 hours or 6.5 hours. It's just as meaningful to the person that's got a goal. So, gutted. Like I say, I was just very disappointed, but I was also like, I was proud of that, to just grind it out, get the finish. Yeah. Felt like I, had a bad day, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, that kind of mental experience, you might be feeling good at 30, 35K, and you might be able to draw on that experience you had. You did that for a long time, you know, from 25 to 42K. Might only be 5K you need, and yeah, it might get you under to your next 230 or something. Just having battled a lot harder than you did that day. Yeah. Well, you ran heaps well at Berlin, obviously. It's a bit warmer and more humid over there at that time of year, isn't it? Do you think maybe the cold contributes to the pounding of the legs on the pavement a bit?
Believe me, Sam, I've looked for any excuse possible and I've come up completely empty. Like, you honestly, you could not, like, Charles out there on the sidelines, you couldn't have got a better day to run a marathon than that day in Tokyo. Like, it was incredible. Yeah, it wasn't even, like, because the sun was out too, like, it really wasn't cold, but it certainly wasn't hot by any stretch of the imagination. But, I wasn't cold in the race. I had warmers on.
Yep.
The start, but they were pretty quickly, I'd pulled them down around my wrists for most of the race. Berlin was probably similar temp, maybe a little warmer. I mean, I had a great day over there too. It was pretty perfect there. Berlin's a quicker course, no doubt, because they don't have any U-turns there. Like, there's quite a few U-turns at Tokyo. But both, like, pancake flat. Tokyo's, you actually did pretty decent downhill a few k's into the race. You go down a pretty long descent, which was kind of nice. But then after that, it's absolutely flat as a tack.
Sounds amazing.
How did you feel the week before, Frosty? Like, did you were, like, looking at your training, I thought you were quite fit going in. So how did you feel the week before, like, going to the start line? Were you, like, excited for this to start or?
Yeah, I was. Training had been really good. I had been dealing with, and I'm still kind of dealing with, a little bit of a dicky left Achilles, but it's like that hasn't been impacting my running, and then definitely didn't on the race day. Like, I barely felt it once I got going. Yeah. So, like, I was standing on the start line, like, pretty confident, Charles.
Yeah.
I was excited. Felt ready to go. Which again, like, I did a little bit of reflecting after the race, like I don't try and overanalyze things like this. Like, I just don't think there's any point really, but sort of a little bit of reflecting, sort of thinking about what might have got me to a point where I didn't quite get what I was after. And I couldn't really come up with anything specific. I mean, there's so many variables with running, as we all know. So that's why I don't like to overanalyze. But yeah, stood on the start line, confident, ready to go. Like, training had been good, ticked it all off. Yeah, just something happened on the day, or maybe I overestimated where I thought I was at, which is also very possible as well.
That's what I think. It's like, it's so hard. Like, you can do everything right, that still doesn't mean you're gonna have a great day. And you might have a great day even if everything wasn't perfect in the lead up. So, that's why I think if you can get to the race, still go and do the race, even if stuff wasn't perfect, and also remember that even if stuff was perfect, you know, it might not be perfect on race day. That's just the nature of running, and I think marathon running is especially, like, shorter distances are a little bit, I guess, less variable. But marathon running, is almost anything can happen on the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. It was like, I mean, it was such a great event. I had such a good experience, especially after the finish line. So I was obviously completely cooked and, like, a little disappointed. I waited for my mate that I'd been running with, because he popped worse than me So I waited for him at the star line, and we sort of shared a pretty nice moment at the end. His broken English and my zero Japanese, which was quite nice. But then they funnel all the runners off into different areas. You kind of, depending on the colour of your bib, you go down a different chute to pick up your bag and get your medals and all that sort of stuff. And they had just hundreds of volunteers there handing out all the little presents and prizes you get at the end of a big event like that, and they were cheering all the runners on. So like, it was all, like, I was loving that as well. It was such a perfect pick me up for what had been a pretty tough few hours. By the time I got through all that and picked up my bag, because I'd sort of been thinking about it in the last sort of 5-10K of the race, like, I'd almost kind of absorbed it all and come out the other side already by that stage. And then I went and met up with my family. It was a bit of a mission to find them. It was getting through Tokyo Station, trying to figure out where everyone was. But eventually we all got together and, found a pub that we went into and had some pints. And Charles came over with his family and had a beer with me, which was great. And we could chat about the race. And so, all in all, it was still such an amazing day, even though the race didn't go how I wanted it to.
Yeah. Nah, that was going to be one of my next questions. How did you celebrate? So...
I reckon I performed better the night of the marathon than I did on the day. But actually, I made it out pretty late. Flicking all around having cocktails pretty late at night. So
yeah, I got from you. Espresso martinis.
Yeah, mate. That's it.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, no. Well, it sounds like you're frothing, even though you're not all too satisfied with your time. Which, I think banking any reasonably executed marathons is pretty good anyway. To be honest, like. Again, you have that experience to draw on. I don't think we touched on this for yours either, Charles, but on-course nutrition and getting your drinks or taking gels, how did you find that on race day?
Yeah, mine was sort of perfect. I had gels with me, so I was planning on just taking my own gels, and I was planning on taking one every 7Ks, which I did. I at all of the water stops, I would grab like a cup of water, drink as much, like two sips and throw it out. Sometimes I grab like the electrolyte drink. Don't mind doing that. So yeah, like the nutrition wise, on course, I think it worked. Well. Everything according to plan.
Pretty easy operation when you just got gels and then you're getting the drinks on course.
And I had the precision hydration gels, which I used before the race in a couple of the long runs. So I was sort of used to them, and I put lots of carbs in them. No complaints or anything went wrong on the nutrition side.
Cool. Frosty?
Yeah, same for me, mate. So I was gels, had a couple of different types of gels that I just carried with me the whole way, and then was just getting the cups of water as I needed them. There were aid stations every couple of Ks, like it was super easy. Either water or Pocari Sweat you could grab, and then they had a bunch of different weird foods and things you could get if you wanted to, but I just stuck with the gels, mate, played it safe. But got all them down well during the run. It probably took on more carbs than I ever have before, which is a positive as well coming out of the race. Like, that was fine. Issues getting them in. So that'll work.
What Japanese treats were they giving you? Like mochi and stuff like that?
Yeah, pickled plums and all these kind of weird cakes and lollies and stuff. Every aid station seemed to be different. It was in the runner's handbook. I was having a good laugh trying to think about what that would be like hooking into something like that at 30.
Some red bean custard pies or something like that. That's amazing. Yeah. It could be a bit distracting, eh? If you're having a bad day, just whatever. Just have a bit of a picnic out here.
That's probably what I should have done, mate.
Cool.
It seemed like everyone was just running past it, Frosty, until it became like, people who run, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours for that marathon or longer, we would stop at a water stop, have a drink, add a couple of different drinks, maybe eat something, chat to the people, and then, walk another 100 meters and then start jogging again. So I think those people enjoy all those options along the way. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got the right idea.
Yeah.
Not doing this awful, difficult marathons for like, 3 hours. Enjoy it over 5 hours. Very good. Well, I guess the way these recaps are done a week or two after the race, but that kind of gives us a bit of an opportunity to ask you both how you've both recovered. And I think everyone's slightly different when it comes to the marathon. I know personally I'm like, pull stumps for a few weeks after the marathon. Just takes me that long to start feeling normal again. How are you guys feeling now, and what's running looking like at the moment?
After the race, I had a week off, no running. Then in the second week, I started jogging. I think I jogged most days that week. And then in the third week after the race, I did a couple of sessions. So at that point, we were still in Japan. So I did a couple of sessions wherever we were. So, and I felt really good. The week off, I felt like that was enough. Like my legs were very sore for a couple of days, and then as we were sightseeing, we were walking quite a lot. So I think that helped to loosen them up a bit. And then in the second week, I could jog a bit hard at first, and then by the end of the second week, jog more comfortably. That all worked well. I was intending on doing Canberra half marathon, but I got sick just before that. So like the recovery after Osaka went quite well, and then sort of got back to normal training, and then as I was tapering for Canberra, I got sick, so I ended up not running there. And then like the sickness took me like 10 or so days probably to get over, so getting back into training properly now again. And yeah, I've got a few sort of smaller races in the rest of the year until Sydney Marathon, another marathon late in the year.
Going back to Sydney.
Yep, try and give that course another crack.
Glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll run well. How about you, Rusty?
Yeah, so pretty similar really. Took a week off, no running at all afterwards. Just hooked into the Japanese food with a vengeance. And then jogged for a couple of weeks, no sessions, and then just back into sessions since then. It's been going good. Got Sydney 10 coming up in a few weeks' time. Yes. And a bunch of other kind of 10Ks and stuff. And I'm booked in for Sydney Marathon as well with Charles, so we'll be lining up together there.
Yeah, nice one. You guys will just keep the... keep the marathons in sync by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
You guys should come to Christchurch next year, try New Zealand.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, I listened to your recap. So I was wondering, since it's a loop course and it's the different distance options, you know, if we get a little bit of a crew going, we can set up a little tent at one of the water stops and have our dedicated drinks.
Yeah.
Something like that, that would be really good.
Yeah, nah, it's just pretty reasonably easy logistically, I guess, for everyone to get there and stuff. And like Bella and I got a rental car and just like drove down to Queenstown, and that was our holiday pretty much. It was pretty awesome. We're thinking about doing exactly the same thing next year. Hopefully I can run a marathon at that point. But at the moment, I just buy a couple of jogs, to be honest. Anyway, we won't go too much into the Christchurch stuff. It was awesome hearing about your Japanese experience and two very good marathons. Frosty, I know you don't agree, but I think it's very impressive nonetheless.
Thanks, bud. Yeah, very fun marathon, we'll say that.
No worries. And we'll have to pump up both of your Sydney marathon preps as well in the coming months.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir.
No worries. Well, thanks a lot, gents, and I'm sure we'll chat soon.
Yeah. Cheers, man. Cheers, Charles.
Thanks. Cheers.